to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. I'd love to hear from you. The broadcast that we put on and put before you each day, dealing with issues, does it help you? Is it beneficial? Is it edifying? Is it encouraging? Is it something that's educational? Is it something that you're telling others about? I'd love to have you, each and every listener, each day. Call 6 or 8, 10 people. Text them, email them. Invite them to tune in the broadcast and allow God to speak to them through the issues that we discuss. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. I've encouraged people down through the years, less than 100 years now, as we see things happening locally, statewide, nationally, internationally, and globally, view what is happening through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? How should we respond to it? It ought not to surprise us. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God has done, is doing, shall continue to do if we simply seek Him, depend upon Him, and allow Him to speak to our hearts. As we face the issues, we do not do so based on political rhetoric or denominational dogma, but based on the authority of the Scripture. Jesus, speaking to His disciples in John 8:31-32, said this, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy Word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that, according to Psalms 117:2, shall prevail, shall be forever, shall never be removed. It's the truth of God's Word, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to depend upon. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his secular novel, dystopian novel of 1980, titled in 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. I challenge you to recognize today that we are faced with that very issue. Now, I'll just use a little illustration. It's not the issue of the day, not the point of the day, but simply by way of illustration. For 4 years, we had the media to tell us, the Marxist media, all of the socialist, communist, Marxist Democrats, to tell us that Joe Biden was up to speed, that Joe Biden was on his best behavior and ability, that Joe Biden was not declining, that Joe Biden was cognizant and knew what was happening every moment of every day. And now, some of those same media publish books that's now saying that they've known all along that it was a cover-up. They've known all along that Joe Biden was not cognitively well, et cetera, et cetera. I think one of the largest, greatest, most damaging event in American history is the fact that we've gone through an artificial presidency for 4 years with Joe Biden. The auto pen was the president. Somebody had to push that button to sign Joe Biden's name, but Joe Biden was not president. And it's just now being revealed by all of those that have said for years that he was okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we need to recognize truth and stand on truth, whether others will embrace it or not. Ladies and gentlemen, an article that I'm reading is a little frightening when you look at it, except for the fact we need to recognize that God's in control. As the former senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In fact, a portion of what he says is this: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And that's factually backed up by the latest survey that says most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, that same survey points out that 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, make this statement: each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. You can't take your truth, my truth, and somebody else's truth and say that we all have truth, but it's different. No. Truth is truth, without modification, without any change. I've always said, and you've heard me say before, I have truth as a whole lie. And we have a whole lot of folks today that are believing and presenting half-truths. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge every day on this broadcast. And it's my prayer today that that will be your way of life, that you will embrace that and stand on it. We need truth tellers today more than anything else in the political realm, spiritual realm, and every form and facet of society. We need truth tellers, those that will stand for truth. Even if you get laughed at, mocked at, rejected, and ridiculed, stand for truth. I believe that is needed today, if not more than any other time in the history of our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag in the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a serious issue today, an issue that I believe that every listener needs to understand and act. In fact, there'll be a call to action at the conclusion of the broadcast today. We're talking about kill the free kill bill. Now, that's not just a play on words. You realize in the state of Florida, we're the only state out of 50 states, we're the only state that has a law that allows doctors, hospitals, and the medical association to kill the patient and have immunity against suit. That went into effect under Lawton Childs back in the 90s with a dominating Democratic House and the Senate. It was pushed through, and Lawton Childs was bought and paid for by the health and medical industry. And as a result of that, his position was that if we do not pass a law that protects the doctors and the hospitals and the medical associations, we won't be able to get them in the state of Florida. All the doctors will leave. All the hospitals will close. All the doctors will be bankrupt. was generally the mindset then. And listen, that's still the mindset today. That law that's on the books as I speak has been since the mid-90s, I think it's 93, 94, 95, someplace now under Lawton Childs. That law's been on the books. The only, and I repeat this, the only state in America that has such a law, that the hospitals and the doctors can kill your loved one and you cannot file suit for pain and suffering and the loss of that child. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you remember. I remember it distinctly. Perhaps you remember the past dark days, bleak days, deadly days, months and almost 4 years under COVID. Listen very carefully. America was shut down. America was shut down as a result of COVID, as a result of the deception, as a result of Big Pharma, as a result of the statement that all of America is going to die unless we shut America down. So, ladies and gentlemen, America was shut down. Businesses were destroyed. Families lost their livelihoods. Multitudes that was kept under, multitudes committed suicide as a result of hopelessness and helplessness during the dark, difficult, deadly days of COVID. Millions of free Americans, listen, millions of free Americans were forced to line up for the deadly shot that Big Pharma says was safe and effective. And we know now that it was neither safe nor effective. But yet that was the mindset. That was the promulgation and push for 4 years, almost 4 years, under COVID death shots. Ladies and gentlemen, we knew then and we know now that it was deadly. And the reality was that it was a lie, a hoax that was perpetrated upon America and, yes, around the world by Big Pharma to be able to sell merchandise and to get the shots in the arms. The hospitals, the medical associations, listen, 29 states allowed the medical association, the doctors and the hospitals to have total immunity. That under the CDC protocol, the COVID CDC protocol, that they could kill you or your loved one with total immunity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I remember that distinctly. Our eldest son was murdered in a hospital in Virginia under the CDC protocol. And do you realize there's no recourse? Millions across America face that same thing. No recourse because states, 29 of them, had the laws that protected Big Pharma, protected the hospitals, the doctors, the medical associations, under the guise that if we had the recourse, the right of recourse to file suit against them, that the hospitals and the doctors would be bankrupt, go out of business, we'd have no more medical care in the state of Florida or in the states that had 29 states that had that immunity law. And that was the mindset. CDC and Big Pharma made billions upon billions of net profits off the suffering and the pain and the murder of our loved ones. Now, I remember those days distinctly. It affected our family dramatically. And if you're listening today and it affected your family, you understand that. Yet today, ladies and gentlemen, under the laws of the state of Florida, all doctors, all hospitals, and medical associations were given legal immunity then under COVID, where the doctors could not be sued, the citizens could not have one dime of compensation for the murder of our family members. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Florida is the, listen, Florida, the state of Florida, our state, I call it a free state. Our free state, the state of Florida, is the only state in America where doctors and hospitals and the medical centers can kill you or your loved one and you cannot file suit for compensation. Oh, yes, listen, the law was so crafted in the 90s that allows a person to file suit just to recoup whatever damages they had, but not for pain and suffering and the loss of a loved one. Let me just give you a little small hypothetical example. If it cost you $10,000 for the medical care before the doctors dispatched your loved one, you can file suit for the $10,000 to have compensation for what it cost you. But it was as though the life of that loved one had no value whatsoever. There's no way for the family members to get compensated for the loss of the loved one, for that loss of that family member. And ladies and gentlemen, at least this legislative session, we had a House and a Senate that had spine and backbone enough to pass legislation to cancel the Free to Kill bill. Senate passed it 33-4. The House passed it, ladies and gentlemen, with a major, I've forgotten the number, it was almost like two-thirds, three-fourths of the House, a mega, mega vote to pass legislation that removes the 35-year-old law that says that the doctors in the hospitals can kill your son or daughter or family member without recourse. I'm looking at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, I'm using that as an illustration that we choose life. We make a determination that we want to live. We go to doctors and hospitals, medical associations, to help us prolongate and carry out the life that we have, life and health and ability to serve God, to do what God's called us to do. Not to go into a hospital or medical association to see a doctor, for them to dispatch you. Well, maybe it was accidental. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, it is sad that we have laws on the books that say that somehow, some way, they are free to murder and no recourse on the part of we the people. Ladies and gentlemen, in the state of Florida, and as I said earlier, it's only in Florida, in the United States of America, one state out of all, that the doctors and hospitals, the medical centers can kill you with no recourse. I'm concerned about that. I've got a headline article. Florida to remain the only state with a free kill law after DeSantis vows to veto House Bill 6017. Let me just read you a word or two of this. Then we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call. Love to hear from you today. What about the Florida free kill law? Should it remain in place? Should the governor sign this bill? We've had the House and the Senate controlled by Republicans. We've got the House and the Senate of the state of Florida that said it's time to end the free kill law that allows doctors and hospitals and medical associations to kill the patient. Malpractice, if you will, with no recourse on the part of we the people. Florida to remain the only state with free kill law after DeSantis vows to veto HB 6017. This article reads in part, Governor Ron DeSantis said Thursday that he plans to veto House Bill 6017 that would repeal a controversial law that places strict limits on who can file medical malpractice lawsuits when the victim is 25 years old or older. Let me just stop for a moment. The present law, if the victim that is killed, injured, harmed by medical malpractice, if he's 25 years old or older, the parents, the loved ones, cannot file suit in the state of Florida. This article reads, opponents of the 35-year-old law have dubbed it the Florida Free Kill Law because it leaves adult children and their surviving families with little to no recourse when they believe a wrongful death has occurred. DeSantis said that repealing the Florida Free Kill Law would cause malpractice insurance premiums to skyrocket, making it more difficult for the state to recruit physicians while ultimately increasing health care costs. Now let's pause for a moment. If Florida's the only state that has that law, does that mean that 49 states in America have no doctors, no hospitals, no difficulties in having doctors and hospitals open? And Florida's the only one, we're the only state the governor would have us to believe, that we're the only state that if we allow doctors and hospitals to be able to get by with malpractice and murder, we're the only state that if we do not change that, that somehow we could not, his words, I listened to the video of the governor speaking. He says if he signs that bill and it becomes law, where the no-kill bill is, or the right-to-kill bill is retracted, it is removed. He said we would lose the ability to recruit doctors in the state of Florida, that hospitals would close and doctors would be bankrupt as a result of suits. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that has not happened in all of the other states. And my idea that malpractice insurance would go sky high if this law is not in place, listen, with malpractice, medical malpractice insurance, there's no carve-outs, there's no stipulations of the age of that individual that must be to reach a level that says you can sue or you can't sue. Malpractice insurance companies do not do that. There's no carve-out. It is simply malpractice insurance. What is it for? What does it do? What does malpractice insurance do? What does holding a doctor and a hospital liable for the accidental malpractice, injury, or death? What does it do? It causes that doctor, it causes that hospital, it causes that medical association to be more careful with your life and my life and the life of our family members. That causes them to recognize that if something goes wrong, they're held responsible to the degree that they are responsible for what happened. So the argument today from our governor, and I'm not trying to trash the governor, but the argument from our governor simply is irrelevant. The argument is simply incomprehensible. The argument is simply null and void. The argument simply has no value. The argument simply has no weight. The argument is absolutely incorrect. Now, listen to the video, I'll say again, with his statements before the media. And Governor Ron DeSantis said, I've talked with many doctors, I've talked with many hospitals, I've talked with multitudes of those in the healthcare industry, and they all tell me that. You understand? Where's he getting his advice? Where's the recommendation coming from? It's coming from the very industry, the very profession that stands to be put in a position of having to act more responsibly. It puts them in the position of trying to defend what they presently have so that they can just willy-nilly do and practice medicine as they please. I believe that we would see better medical practitioners if the free kill law is killed and they do not have total, if you please, ability and opportunity to malpractice without recourse. I think that we need to have something changed, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe the thing that needs to be changed is the law, just as our state's representatives and the Senate has determined that needs to be done. And by the way, I'm thankful that from the Senate standpoint, it was introduced by Clay Yarber. And during the course of I find it fascinating, during the course of the debate and the arguments, the medical association, the doctors and the hospitals had enough lobbyists to be able to prevail to the degree that they decided, well, if we just had some limits, that we would, all of us would say okay to that bill. Well, Clay Yarber trying to appease them, and probably he was with the right heart and the right mindset to do so, he tried to say, okay, we'll set $1 million limit. And all of the other senators said, no, we do not want a carve-out with a limit. We do not want a cap on what the citizens can file suit and recoup if their loved one is injured, harmed, or killed as a result of malpractice. So he withdrew that amendment, and the bill passed with no amendments, with no caps, with no limitation. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the senators have been willing to listen to the calls and the cries of the people. I'm looking at the actual bill. It's not but a five-page bill. And it says the bill is entitled, An Act Relating to Actions for Recovery of Damages for Wrongful Death, Amending Florida Statute 768.21 in the Florida Statute Listings, deleting a provision prohibiting the recovery of certain damages by specified parties related to the decedent in wrongful death proceedings. Further in the article, line 19 in the bill, damage all potential beneficiaries of a recovery for wrongful death, including a decedent's estate. Damage may be awarded as follows. Then it goes into details. Line 32 of the bill, it says, an exclusive action, cause of action for negligence or violation of the resident's rights as specified under this part, which alleges direct or vicarious liability for the personal injury or death of a nursing home resident arising from such negligence or violation of the right of which seeks damages for such injury or death that may be brought only against the licensee, the licensee's management or consulting company, the licensee's managing employee, and any direct caregiver, whether employees or contractors. Further, it says, if the action alleges a claim for the resident's rights or for the negligence that caused the death of the resident. If the action alleges a claim for the resident's rights for the negligence that did not cause the death of the residents, the personal representative of the state may recover damages for the negligence that caused the injury or the death. And it goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. The bottom line is the bill, Senate bill and the House bill that's now merged, approved overwhelmingly so by the House and the Senate. Now our governor is saying he's going to veto it. That's the focus of the conversation today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning, good morning.
You know, I was behind our governor 100% because he had done stuff that was good. Hopefully, he'll do the right thing here. And do not let these doctors and hospitals get away with murder, because it's like queso rice or rice, you know.
Kenneth, you're exactly right. I'm concerned that we have such a heavy, heavy lobbyist mechanism in Tallahassee that our governor is drinking the Kool-Aid and really believing. I think he really believes that if he signs this bill, that hospitals will close, doctors will be sued into bankruptcy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's the same argument that he used when 3 years in a row under COVID, he signed the immunity law in the state of Florida that prevented family members from having redress as a result of the CDC protocol by the doctors killing patients because of the COVID protocol. His statement was over and over and over, if we do not have this immunity law in Florida and people die from COVID being in the hospital or treated by the doctors, then the doctors will be sued into oblivion, hospitals would close, we'd have no medical care in the state of Florida, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's an absolute 100% lie, total absolute deception. But he bought the deception then, he has bought the deception today. And I'm worried. I really believe he'll veto the bill. Here's the bottom line, Kenneth. If he vetoes the bill, this bill had such heavy voting for it in the House and the Senate, it is veto-proof. In other words, the legislators, House and the Senate, can go back and vote it again and override the governor's veto. But the problem is we've never had our House and Senate, controlled by the Republicans, we've never had them to veto any bill, override the veto of any bill that the governor did not sign. This bill now has been on the governor's desk, I think it's 15 days. It becomes law if he doesn't veto it. It becomes law if he doesn't sign it. But he says he's going to veto it. So now, We can either believe him or not believe him, but it's my prayer, and I pray that our listeners will pray and ask God to divinely intervene and motivate the governor to sign the bill. It protects the life and the liberty and health of our families in the state of Florida. Kenneth, our time is up. We've got a hard break for the top of the hour news, but thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WA.